We got a good buddy on the line here from ESPN.
Yes.
He wears a lot of hats down there. We're going to talk predominantly baseball with him, but I think he does basically everything.
Does everything.
Back on the show, here's Adnan Virk. How you doing, Adnan?
Hey, O-Dogs, Jamie. I'm doing great to be with you guys, and I'd like to echo the sentiments of all the Italians, especially in Toronto. My God, we've got two little Italies. People don't realize this. St. Clair West, College Field West, always World Cup time. The Italians get after it like nobody else, so I am with you guys. It is weird to have the World Cup starting and no Italy team in there. So, I don't know. We'll figure out a way.
Yeah, it's going to be
some sad faces around those areas during this World Cup, won't there? Holy crap.
Well, and Woodbridge, right? You didn't even mention Woodbridge. You start going
up
there.
Oh, my God. Well, all of Vaughan, you're right. Forget about Woodbridge. All of Vaughan, the Italians taking over.
Right. Yeah, the flags, man. That's the guy who I feel sorry for.
The flag salesman?
The flag salesman at, like, you know, wherever
Colossus
he is.
At 7-400.
Yeah. That guy just lost a fortune. The amount of Italian flags that are kicking around during the Euros and the World Cup.
Yeah.
Those guys, that's their whole life, is selling those flags. And now it's completely off the market. So think about the little man, Adnan. Don't forget about that guy.
Yeah, 50% off the Italian flags. Get it back in 4 years, hopefully. All good.
Right, exactly. They'll get back in there in the future. So we wanted to get into this Shohei Ohtani stuff. I mean, this is heartbreaking news. It feels like he's destined for Tommy John. And yeah, I hope not. You knock on wood. But it sure feels more than likely that that's the direction that we're moving in here. And if he does end up going under the knife for Tommy John, he's off the radar until 2020. Like, this guy's made such an impact on the North American sports scene, let alone baseball and in Anaheim. Do you think he completely falls off the radar? Like, is that it? Is he just gone? And if he ends up, again, having Tommy John, what will the reaction be league-wide?
I think it's ultimately devastating. There's no question about it. But I don't think it's irreparable damage to him in his career, because Tommy John is so commonplace now, Hayes, that a guy can get Tommy John, and they can come back as stronger as ever. That's crazy to say with such a major surgery, but that's the case now. Johnny Venters is pitching for the Rays. He was one of the most devastating setup men in baseball with the Braves. You know, for years, he was so good along with Craig Kimbrell. He's had three Tommy John surgeries. He's currently back in the majors. So, listen, if a guy can overcome one, he can overcome three at this point. But I do share with you the fact that I feel demoralized, because Ohtani was one of the best stories in the game. I mean, I couldn't wait. I'll be at the All-Star game in a month in D.C., and having Ohtani there, which I think he could have been, would have been amazing. I mean, you've got all the Japanese media who's fired up. You've got Asian Americans who are excited. And you just got people who want to see something different in baseball, want to see a guy who can hit and all can also pitch. And all of that, unfortunately, now is washed away. And I don't think it's a true, you know, comparison. But I do remember Matt Harvey, as great as he was the first couple of years, after Tommy John, he was never the same guy. And a young pitcher, relatively speaking, although Ohtani's younger than Harvey. Harvey's a little bit older than people realize. But remember, he was just such a sensation. Top five pitchers in the game, gets Tommy John, you know, came back, was never the same pitcher, overweight, partied too much. Now he's in the Reds. Nobody cares. I don't think that'll happen with Ohtani. But, I mean, like you said, 2020, that's an awfully long time to be able to be missing from the baseball radar.
You just mentioned D.C. Did you not know, do you guys not notice that when Ovi brought the cup and the cat, that Bryce Harper was nowhere to be found? Not in any pictures, didn't want any part of it.
He's a Vegas fan.
Is that because of Vegas?
Yeah. Yeah, he was nowhere to be found or around that scene when Ovi and the
boys. I could see some jealousy steeped in that, too, not even from a Phantoms perspective, that Harper's the man in D.C., and Ovi got to the title first. Like, they haven't had one since, I think, 91 when the Skins won the Super Bowl, and Ovi beat him to the punch. I could see that.
Yeah, I don't mind Harper doing that, I'll be honest, guys, because I'm like, you know what? He has been such a huge Vegas fan. Like, clearly, after national games, they're interviewing him, and he's, like, wearing Vegas garb. So it would be awfully odd if all of a sudden he joined in the celebration. Although, I guess, in true sportsmanship, obviously, Ovechkin's a fellow superstar in D.C. Maybe you give him a little bit of love. But, you know, Harper's MO is to be a gamer at all times. So I could see him being a sore loser, so to speak. He's like, yeah, I don't care. I hate the Capitals. Let's go Vegas.
Well, we mentioned this earlier. I think what's being overlooked from that whole scene with the Caps at the ball game is how Ovechkin may be a first pitch trailblazer, because he took two. You know, the first one was a brutal toss.
The second one was garbage too.
But at least he got it there,
yeah,
right?
He got it.
Like
there.
Scherzer caught it. I think it was Scherzer. I mean, could that change the whole first pitch game, Adnan? Could we see that in the future? A guy throws a brutal one and he goes, "I want two."
Yeah, I don't think so, fellas. Although, listen, now you want 50 Cent wants a mea culpa, you know, Mariah Carey wants another one, Roseanne would like to sing the anthem again. I mean, all of a sudden you got mulligans all over the place. But no, listen, those guys are on a roll right now. The party's been pretty crazy. I'm not one of these people who thinks they should tone it down. I mean, listen, Ovechkin's been a long time in the making. Obviously, one of the game's great superstars. He finally gets his chance. He can do whatever the hell he wants. Although I do think, as my friend John Chick pointed out, it's going to be interesting when he goes back and gives it to Putin, that all of a sudden, you know, that becomes a political issue now. People are upset with Russia. Now all of a sudden, are they supporting Trump? Are they supporting Putin? Mm. Is Ovechkin taking it too far? Who knows? But no, I think it's just one first pick. That's it.
Well, I want to get into this Vladdy Guerrero Jr. story. He's been shut down for about a month, and I know it's on the radar at ESPN. It's on the radar. Every baseball pundit, analyst, fan is aware of Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and what he's been doing. But I think the Jays have been reluctant to call him up. They obviously haven't. I don't think they want to call him up. Do you think this injury affords them the opportunity to basically say, that's it? Like, now we won't be bringing him up because of the injury. Then when he comes back, he's got a rehab. He won't be 100%. In other words, is this a built-in excuse for them to skate through the rest of the year without having to call him up?
100%. They don't want to bring him up. There's no question about it, because they feel like there's really no urgency to do so. You know, the Braves brought up a 20-year-old player, Ozzie Albies, who's been terrific. He just hit a bit of a wall the last 12 games. Other than that, he was like MVP-type contender for the Braves. It's how good he's been. Ronald Acuna is 20 years of age. They brought him up. Alex Anthopoulos, former Jays president GM, now running things there. And Acuna was very good before he got hurt. But the point is, the Braves were a good team, and they realized they've got a couple stars going to be impact players. The Jays are not a good team, right? They're not going anywhere. They had a nice start to the season. After that, have fallen apart. Can't hit, can't pitch. They got issues all over the place. So they don't like the fact that everyone's saying, hey, Vladdy Guerrero Jr. is the best prospect in the game. Why isn't Toronto calling him up? He's hitting .407 in double-A baseball. He's torching opponents. But the Jays brass is saying, what reason do we have to bring him up? Obviously, service time then becomes an issue. You know, it's one more year before he goes to free agency. He's going to get a ton of money if he's going to be as great as we all think he is. You know, Eric Wedge was the former manager with the Indians. He was a manager of the year there, manager of the Mariners, now works the minor league system in Toronto. I've kept in touch with him because he worked with us at Baseball Tonight. He told me Vladdy Jr. is the best prospect he's ever seen. All right, Eric Wedge has been in baseball for 20, 30 years because that's the best I've ever seen. We can't push this guy through. So to your point, they're already desirous of not doing that. At the very least, the thought became, boys, why not put him in AAA? Okay, if you're not bringing him to the majors, fine. But he's torching teams at AA. Put him in AAA. But they didn't want to do that. So you're right. Now the injury, you can let him rehab a little bit. You come back to AA, and you can put him at AAA for a little bit, or have him be a call-up in September. So then you give Jays fans a glimpse of his talent. He's completely healthy. You bring him up for a month, the team will be out of it, and you say, all right, here's a reason to sell tickets for next season. Here's a reason to get excited about the Blue Jays' future and go from there. But no, they don't want to call him up right now. Although everything about him is legit. You know, you mentioned the fact that the States people are talking about it. We're here in Central Connecticut. He plays for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. They just played the Hartford Yard Goats a couple weeks ago, which is 10 minutes from my house. And I unfortunately had to work, but I have people going from work there, and they go, it's unreal. The one thing which is not known, if you're not following him, is he doesn't actually look like his dad. He's actually shorter and stockier, specifically than the hips and the legs. So he looks more like a Miguel Cabrera. He's not like tall and lean like dad was, but he has all those skills, the rocket arm, the great hitting. I mean, it's unbelievable. I can't wait.
Well, and I guess the one knock on him is the body type, like you said, which he can't necessarily control the height, but there's already some chatter up here. I mean, he's dealing with a knee injury now that he's got to knock some pounds off, which I think as a 19-year-old, I mean, he's just raw talent right now. At some point, he's going to get it together in terms of his professional etiquette and the way that he performs in the offseason, eats and works out and all that kind of stuff.
You might as well knock it off right now.
Get after it now, right?
And as opposed to when you're 25 and you got 40 on that you got to get off. Trust me, it's not easy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know or anything, but it's not easy.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Baltimore just rolled through here and got swept by the Jays. Like, they are historically awful. And Kansas City's brutal. The White Sox are brutal. I mean, what do you make of this, Adnan? How bad some of these teams are. We're only 40% through the season, but these guys are on pace for like 40 wins, 45 wins.
Yeah, the Orioles, they know they're horrific. Manny Machado's one of the best players in the game. He's going to go somewhere, so they have no reason to win. They're going to trade him to the highest bidder and reap the rewards. And Peter Angelos has been, you know, an owner who has tried to make some moves, but things haven't worked out, and therefore Baltimore's going nowhere, and you're right, they're going to be awful. I feel for Buck Showalter. He's a great manager. Final year of his deal, I don't think Buck comes back. That probably goes both ways there. The Royals, listen, they had their windows. So, listen, 30 years of irrelevance. They won a World Series in 2015. You made the World Series in 2014. Now they're dreadful again. That young core, which all of a sudden then evaporated because Lorenzo Cain left to the Brewers. Eric Hosmer went to the Padres. Now, you've still got Mike Moustakas, who actually signed on a bargain deal. But Alex Gordon, who's been so good for years, he hasn't been very good offensively. He's still good defensively. But their pitching really isn't very good. And then who was the third team you mentioned, Hayes?
Well, the White Sox. I mean,
oh, the White Sox. So they actually want to be bad. I actually called one of their games, so I get to know them a little bit. I was calling the game on Memorial Day here in the States a week ago. I guess it's way too far for us still. Mm-hmm. I was in Cleveland, and I talked to Rick Renteria, the manager, and some of the players, and you're right, they're awful. But they actually have a plan. I actually think they're going to be pretty good in a couple of years. They are meant to be awful. They're following the Cubs model of last place three straight years, the Astros of last place three straight years, and try to get good. They've got a guy in Yoan Moncada, who's a very good player. They got him over in the Chris Sale trade with Boston. Jose Abreu, obviously, is a great power hitter, has been for a long time. After that, they're very lean. But they've got the top prospects in the game right now. They've got six top 50 prospects, probably the second or third best farm system. And all those guys are coming in about a year or two. So they're going to be awful this year and next year. But I think 2020, they actually get to 500. Then after that, I'd say watch out. The White Sox, I actually think, are going to be pretty good. Now, prospects we know can be fickle, right? Out of six top 50 guys, maybe three end up being studs and three are terrible. But at best case, they are going to be a very good team. And you're right. Right now, it's painful to watch them play.
Always great catching up with you, buddy. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks so much, fellas. By the way, I just got back from Vegas. I was there for the Crawford-Horn fight, which we had on ESPN+. I missed the Stanley Cup by one day. I flew in Friday, and of course, Game 5 was Friday. Can't you believe that? What a great team, though. I'm sure it was awesome.
It was incredible. Yeah, no, I can only imagine. And we'll see if they get back. I mean, Vegas, what a ride. And if they can be even just competitive next year, I think that's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
But we lose sight that they're an expansion team. Cup final expansion team. It's wild. Thanks, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Adnan Verk of ESPN.